worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God, to begin with in the book, the Gospel of John, chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. Again, John chapter 21, starting at verse 1. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." Verses 1 through 17, John chapter 21. Lord, thank you for the Gospel of John. Thank you for all the Gospels. Thank you for all of your Word, and thank you for the many blessings that are ours as we take time to read and meditate on your Word, and thus spend time one-on-one with you as you speak words of wisdom, grace, insight, and understanding to us. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you are El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. You're Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You're Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You're our King of kings and Lord of lords, and so, so many and much more than that. Thank you, Lord, for being our Heavenly Father. Lord, more and more, help us to become faithful men and women of prayer. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer. Empower us to be the praying church you've called us to be, in Jesus' name. And more, help us to recognize, Lord, that we're called to live lives given to prayer, and empower us to be the praying church you've called us to be, in Jesus' name. And more, help us to be wise enough to be people that walk with you in your Word every day, that we spend much time daily reading and meditating on your Word, feeding our spirit and drawing on the grace, the power, the blessing, the joy that's ours as we walk with you in your Word each and every day. And Lord, help us to be wise enough to make time to help and teach and train our children to fill up on your Word each and every day, so they too can come to know the great fellowship, the blessing that can be theirs and that will be theirs as they walk with you in your Word. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Hey, Father, thank you for being a good teacher. Thank you for teaching us so well. Thank you for all the lessons that you've left in Scripture for us. Father, I ask that you'd open our hearts and minds and ears that we could, as we look through this passage today and as Pastor Joseph leads this broadcast, that you'd speak through him and that you'd grow all of us, Father. Father, please teach us how to pray. Please teach us how to pray more and more and more and more along with what you want. I ask that as you teach us how to pray, that you teach us how to pray continually and how to acknowledge you in everything that we do. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. You know, to ask this question, this is an important and an insightful question. How long would it take you to read the Bible through? Well, you know, it takes just about 70 hours and 40 minutes to read the Bible through at what you might call pulpit rate. But I don't know too many people that will sit and read it all the way through in one sitting. But if you did take time to do it, it would take close to 70 hours and 40 minutes or so. It takes only about 52 hours and 20 minutes to read the Old Testament straight through, and just about 18 hours and 20 minutes to read the New Testament all the way through. Keep in mind, it takes about 2 hours and 43 minutes to read the longest gospel, the Gospel of Luke. And one could read through the whole Bible by reading about 15 minutes a day. And you could read, again, pretty much through the whole Bible by reading at least 15 minutes a day. I want to take time now to share an article by the title, Redeeming the Time with Our Children, a Reminder of the Importance of Us Making It a High Priority to Disciple Our Children. Again, the title of the article, Redeeming the Time with Our Children. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16, see then that you walk circumspectly, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Then Proverbs 22, 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Again, Proverbs 22, verse 6. Isaiah 54, 13, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Isaiah 54, 13. Proverbs 1, 8 and 9, hear my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Again, Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. Then Psalm 127, verse 3, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Psalm 127, 3. Then Matthew chapter 19, verse 14, Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Again, Matthew 19, verse 14. Let the children come to me, Christ said in Matthew 19, verse 14. Our Lord Jesus took time with children and blessed them in his earthly ministry. We are wise to be sure and do the same. Our children, once they arrive on the scene, immediately begin to grow, and they grow very fast. They're born into this world, and oh, how time flies. A few days after they're born, you blink your eyes, and they are graduating from high school. Again, how time flies. We as parents have our children for a few days, and then they grow up and are gone from home. So we are wise as parents and as ministers that work with children to make the most of our time with them. In other words, we must redeem in the time. We must redeem the time. We must use the time we have with them very wisely. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, Psalm 90, verse 12. Yes, we need to redeem the time with our children, yet a critical question is, how do we do that? What are things we can do to redeem the time with our children while they're growing up in our homes? The following are a few discipleship projects or goals to pursue in the midst of discipling our children. They're tasks that can encourage spiritual growth and maturity in our children's faith. In other words, these are things we can do with our children to help us redeem the time with them. Number one, have each of your children read 3 chapters from the Bible aloud to you every day. If you're a grandparent, you could have your grandchildren to read 3 chapters aloud to you daily, possibly by phone if you need to do it that way. Coming up with a way to reward them so they'll be further motivated to read can often be a wise approach. Number two, pray daily with your children. Pray the Lord's Prayer with them every day. Pray the Ten Commandments with them daily, and pray Psalm 91 with them daily. Reward them to memorize each of those prayers and allow them to lead them. Number three, pray the prayer of Jabez and the prayer of Isaiah with them every day. Number four, assign them mission tasks daily. Some possible mission tasks could include calling granddad or grandmom or an elderly person in the church or community and read them a chapter from the Bible. Call them and pray for them. Go to the store and give out gospel tracts. Number five, give your child a cash incentive to read a book about a missionary. Pray daily with your children for ministries and missionaries. Number six, have each of the children memorize the Ten Commandments and recite them out loud to you from memory. Number seven, discuss the meaning of one of the Ten Commandments and talk with them about how a Christian is to live them out in their lives on a daily basis. Number eight, have Bible quizzes with your children. Figure out a way to give them prizes for correct answers. Number nine, give your children incentives to memorize passages of Scripture and recite them to you aloud. And number 10, reward them for reading the whole book of Jonah out loud to you, the book of Ruth, the book of Mark, Philippians, etc. These are just a few ideas. You probably could quickly come up with a much longer list of ideas. A key goal for us as parents, grandparents, Christian leaders who work with youth is to make planting the Word of God into the hearts and minds of our children a high priority. The Word of God does so much for all of us and our children. It saves us, it guides us, it molds us, it shapes us, and we could go on and on. The Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. So when your child is reading the Word of God, he or she is spending time with Jesus. And remember, the Word of God, Jesus, heals all the ills of life. Let's be wise stewards of our time with our children. Let's do all we can and should to introduce them to Christ and guide them to live their whole lives for Him. There's no better life that our children could live than a life lived closely and faithfully following Christ. Let's redeem the time. Again, the title of that article is Redeeming the Time with Our Children. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd be glad to send it to you. Father, thank you for the privilege, the opportunity, the honor, and the blessing and the responsibility of discipling our children. Thank you for the opportunity for us to do it. And thank you for the influence you give us as parents and grandparents to both influence and encourage our children to come to know Christ and to live for Christ. Lord, anoint us all afresh with the Spirit of grace that we would be effective and becoming more and more effective at discipling our children, encouraging them in spiritual things, and being good role models for them. Help us to love them, to guide them, to mold them, and to point them towards the Lord Jesus Christ every day of our lives. Help us to reach through our words and our actions and our attitude to help our children realize that Christ is what life is all about. Knowing Christ and living for Christ, that's why we're here in the world, and help us to be very effective and productive in teaching our children these lessons. And Lord, help us to not only be effective at teaching and encouraging our children in these lessons, help us to be effective tools through which you can use us, by which you can use us to point other youth and point the whole world to Jesus. More and more use us to help us to live in such a way that our life will let the world know that Jesus is what life is all about. Following Jesus Christ is what life is all about. And living for Jesus Christ and fulfilling all the call of God upon our lives that Christ has placed upon our lives, that's what we're here for. Thank you for this opportunity. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, the title of that article that we shared, Redeeming the Time with Our Children. Again, if you'd like to get it, simply email us, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get a copy to you. We'll be right back.
Bread of life, sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. But you are the living word, say it now. Come on.
Sent down from glory.
Many things.
on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
Bring sent down from glory.
Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
The music of Fred Hammond with You Are the Living Word. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We appreciate you being a part of our listening family. For the balance of the broadcast, we're looking at the topic, Lessons at Breakfast by the Sea. We're looking at John chapter 21. The Gospel of John chapter 21, again, the topic, Lessons at Breakfast by the Sea. John chapter 21 is a unique chapter in the Word of God in that it's a chapter that's devoted to Christ spending time with his disciples after he has risen from the dead. And he's teaching them, he's fellowshipping with them. And of course, the Lord Jesus is the master teacher. And he's teaching them through word, action, deed, and really through his entire being. And note, of all four Gospels, John is the only Gospel that contains this account. And it's powerful to read it and meditate on it. So I want to encourage every single listener, take time to read through John chapter 21. And of course, always before you do your Bible reading, it's a wise thing to pray. Praying the prayer from Psalm 119, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things out of your law. There are wondrous things in this chapter. So when you read it over, again, once you've read it, pray before you read, but once you've read over it, read it again, and then read it over a third time. Read and meditate on it, because there's a lot in this chapter that the Lord wants to teach you. And remember this, all of the Word of God is like a treasure field, and there's more always to be dug out of every part of the Word of God. No matter what passage you come across, there's more treasure to be found as you dig deeper and deeper into it. So as we look in John 21, again, and we're again kind of calling our topic today, Lessons at Breakfast by the Sea. But John 21, powerful chapter. And the whole chapter, in a sense, you could say, it's about following Jesus. Now you might think, well, how do you get that from reading the whole chapter? Well, actually, the whole chapter really is about following Jesus, amongst other things. So we're going to read John 21 now. John 21, starting at verse 1. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire, and some bread. Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, follow me. Peter turned around and saw behind him the disciple Jesus loved, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked, Lord, who will betray you? Peter asked Jesus, what about him, Lord? Jesus replied, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. So the rumor spread among the community of believers that this disciple wouldn't die. But that isn't what Jesus said at all. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This disciple is the one who testifies to these events and has recorded them here. And we know that his account of these things is accurate. Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. Verses 1 through 25, all of John chapter 21. And again, this is the only gospel that contains this account of Jesus spending time after his resurrection with his disciples. And there are many lessons, not just one or two, but many important lessons that we can draw from this chapter. So keep in mind, as we kind of step through it, I want you to keep in mind one of my encouragements to you is take time to read and meditate on this chapter because God has many important truths he wants to teach you about following him. And again, the whole chapter is really about following Christ. And so the insights about that very topic throughout the chapter. So keep in mind the chapter basically opens, it lets us know that Jesus appeared to his disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. So this is the Sea of Galilee. That's the setting. Now, keep in mind, as believers, we're called to live a lifestyle of listening. That's an important truth. Well, a number of the disciples were there. Simon Peter and several of the other disciples, they were there. And they were seven of the disciples were there. Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they decided they were going to go with him. And they fished all night long, which was the norm, fishing at night. But they didn't catch anything, nothing at all. The next morning at dawn, the Lord Jesus was on shore, but they didn't know it was Jesus. And he calls out to them from the shore, fellas, have you caught any fish? And their response was no. And he says to them, throw your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some. Now, keep in mind, even at this point, they don't know that it's Jesus. And part of the thought in their mind may have been, who is this on shore trying to tell us how to fish? We're fishermen. We know, or at least some of them were. We're fishermen. We know how to fish. Now, they hadn't caught anything, but they were wise enough to decide, well, you know, let's do that. The last time someone told us how to fish, which was Jesus, we caught a boatload of fish. Well, they obey, and keep in mind, they catch so many fish that it was just a huge boatload of fish. And then all of a sudden, it's once they saw how the fish were caught miraculously, all of a sudden, at least one of them, if not all of them, realized, that's the Lord. And so Peter jumps into the water, swims to shore towards Jesus, and then the other disciples bring the large catch of fish. Note, when they get there, breakfast is already done. Now, in other words, probably the reason they even went fishing was they were hungry and they were waiting on Jesus, you know, probably waiting on Jesus to arrive and probably just gotten hungry and decided, well, hey, we know how to fish. Let's go fishing. Didn't catch anything. Didn't catch a single fish. But no, once they follow the directions of Jesus, even before they knew it was him, they catch a boatload of fish. But when they arrive on shore, even though they've caught a boatload of fish, remember, they probably were hungry and that's why they went fishing. When they get there, they don't even have to cook the fish they have just caught. Jesus already has breakfast done. Now, keep in mind, you might say, well, can Jesus cook? Well, keep in mind, Jesus is the greatest cook in the universe. Okay? And so, of course, he can cook. He can do anything that he wants to do. And so that's probably the best fish dinner they ever had. You know, the breakfast was already ready. And so Jesus fed them that morning. But note this, once they arrive on shore, he says his words to them are, some translations say, come and eat breakfast. Now, the King James uses this phrase. It says, come and dine. Now, I want you to think about it. The Lord Jesus says to his disciples, come and dine. He's inviting them to come eat, yes, to eat physical food. But I want you to keep in mind, more than that, Jesus is inviting them to come and dine on the Word of God. That's an invitation Jesus issues to every one of us every day of our lives, to come and dine on the Word of God. And the fact is, he wants us daily to feast on God's word, because God's word is so important to all of life. The Lord Jesus himself said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. A quote from Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. Yes, Jesus knows we need physical food, but more than that, we need the word of God. And so when believers are wise enough to dine on the word of God every day, not nibble, remember, his invitation is to come and dine. So, yes, he's inviting them to eat breakfast, to eat food, the fish and the bread. But his invitation to every one of us is come and dine on my word every single day. I don't have the ability to overemphasize how important it is for every believer to become a diligent student of God's word. God's word literally pours grace into all of our lives in abundance as we're wise enough to put the Word of God in our hearts and our minds in abundance every day. So, 3 chapters is a goal that we often encourage believers to go after on this broadcast. But keep in mind, if you decide that 3 chapters is not enough for you and you want to get more than that, 4 or 5 or many more than that, great. The fact is, you cannot overeat the Word of God. It'll only bless you more, encourage you more, edify you more. It literally, again, is pouring grace into your life as you read and meditate on God's Word. And it's as if every day God's question is, how much do you want? God wants to pour so much more grace and blessing into your life, and it happens as we spend time reading and meditating on God's word. Believers that make it a high priority to get into God's word every day, again, it's so wise. Father, thank you for every believer listening. Anoint us all afresh with a spirit that would encourage us to feast on your word every day, to draw in the grace, the power, the blessing, the joy, the strength that comes from spending time with you, one-on-one with your word. Help us more and more to grow in our understanding of what a gift your word is to us. Help us to be wise enough to not nibble, but to feast on it every single day, more and more in our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. So the disciples, they get to eat breakfast, and then note what takes place next. Then after they've eaten breakfast, the Lord Jesus sort of pulls Peter aside. After breakfast is done, he has a conversation with Peter to himself, and he says to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Peter's response is, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus then responds to him, then feed my lambs. Jesus repeats the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter's response, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, the Lord Jesus says. And then the Lord Jesus asks him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And scripture says Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Now, there are so many truths and insights to be found here. Now, keep in mind, Jesus, in a sense, amongst other things, reinstates Peter as a disciple. Now, you might say, well, what do you mean? Well, in a sense, Peter sort of fired himself from being a disciple. Now, you might say, well, how did he do that? Well, coming up to the crucifixion and death, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, Peter denied Jesus not just once, not just twice, but three times. Three times he said he didn't know him. So through his words, you could say Peter sort of fired himself from being a disciple. So Jesus, in his grace and love, graciously reinstates him. Now, even again, note this, right after the resurrection, Mark chapter 16, verse 7 says something very interesting. Mark chapter 16, verse 7, it says, these are the words of the angel after Jesus has risen from the dead. Mark 16, verse 7, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Now, why did the angel say, and Peter? Well, again, Peter had fired himself. Jesus didn't fire him. Peter fired himself from being a disciple. So Jesus graciously is reinstating Peter. Your words are powerful. Your words are powerful. They have great influence on you and great influence in the world. So when Peter said, I don't know him, again, he was affecting his whole life. So it's important to know, be careful what you say. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're looking today at the topic, Lessons at Breakfast by the Sea, looking at John chapter 21. We'll be right back. Music of Mandisa with God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic, Lessons at Breakfast by the Sea, a look at the Gospel of John chapter 21. Again, a powerful account that's found only in the Gospel of John about the Lord Jesus, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, spending time with his disciples, teaching them important lessons about following him and living for him. And again, you can say the whole chapter is largely about following Christ and important lessons for us to learn. So again, we just pointed out that Peter had more or less fired himself from being a disciple, and that passage in Mark chapter 16, verse 7 kind of draws an important point out. Even the angel recognized Peter had fired himself, and so he says, tell the disciples and Peter that he is going before you. And so here, the Lord Jesus in chapter 21 graciously reinstates Peter as a disciple. Peter denied Jesus three times. Jesus asks him three times, do you love me? But note also, though, the Lord Jesus, how he responds after Peter responds. Again, in the conversation, Jesus asks him three times, basically, do you love me? And Peter's response each time is yes. Well, after the first response, the Lord Jesus says to Peter, then feed my lambs. And after the second response, the Lord Jesus says, then take care of my sheep. And then after the third response, Jesus then says, then feed my sheep. Now, Again, many truths can be drawn from that. The first time he uses the term lambs, that is little ones, you know, not just adults, but, you know, ministry for the church should be emphatically ministering to adults and emphatically ministering to children and youth. In a sense, every believer, when they first come to Christ, could be considered a lamb, but Jesus says, feed my lambs. The second response, then take care of my sheep. In other words, love the people. God calls all of us as believers to love people and love them deeply. And the fact is, love gives. Love gives of itself. The reality is every one of us as believers are called to full-time ministry that's seeking God and listening to God about how we reach out to a hurting world that desperately needs to hear the gospel and desperately needs to be touched by the love of Christ. So many times you and I run across the paths of people every day who life has beat them up and left them on the side of the road for dead. Yet so much of the world passes them by, as you may recall the story of the Good Samaritan. But how sad it is, too often people who say they love Jesus, they too pass by on the other side. We as the church are called to love people and love them deeply, to love them to Christ, and love them and help them to grow up in their faith to become vibrant believers who in turn will help to become a part of the world's solution, the church, that is effectively loving the world and not a part of the problem. So when Christ says to us, take care of my sheep, he's saying to Peter and to all the rest of us, this is how we love Jesus. We don't just love Jesus with our words. We love with our action. Remember, loving God is not just about the things we say. Loving God is seen in the life and the lifestyle we live of giving ourselves to God and to the calling of God upon our lives. We're all called to full-time ministry. And what that looks like for every believer is a little different. But yes, every one of us is called to full-time ministry, not necessarily preaching the pulpit, obviously. Many are called to preach in the pulpit, but many are called to be doctors and lawyers and teachers and preachers and farmers and janitors and ditch diggers, whatever it might be. But the key is glorify God in whatever he's called you to do. Yes, we're to seek him in his word and seek him in prayer because that's our learning time. That's our time of being tutored by the Holy Spirit about how to live out our calling in this life. Again, each of us is called to walk closely with the Lord. So each time Jesus says to Peter, again, the three responses, then feed my lambs. The second one, then take care of my sheep. And the third response, then feed my sheep. How do we feed God's sheep? Well, of course, one part of it is, of course, we're to be diligent students of God's word and share the word often with others. Be involved in the work of making disciples. Discipleship is involved in sharing the gospel, and discipleship is involved in helping believers grow up, making disciples, that is. So all of us are called to live a lifestyle of making disciples. We're called to be a disciple and make disciples as well. So how important that is that we're seeking to do that. Well, and then the latter part of the chapter here, we're looking also, note what it says, picking up at verse 20. It says, Peter turned around and saw behind him the disciple Jesus loved, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during the supper and asked, Lord, who will betray you? Peter asked Jesus, what about him, Lord? Jesus replied, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. So the rumor spread among the community of believers that this disciple wouldn't die, but that isn't what Jesus said at all. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This disciple is the one who testifies of these events and has recorded them here. Now note again, that's of course the Apostle John. So after Jesus and Peter have their aside conversation, Peter turns around and sees John close by. Now, what's going on there? Why is John, even though Jesus has pulled Peter aside, John still chooses to come and be close by? Why is that? Well, one very important truth about the Apostle John was John made it his business to stay close to Jesus throughout his time of following Jesus for those 3 years. John always stayed close. Note, he was close enough to lean right there to Jesus and ask him that question. He was right next to Jesus. And note this too, at the crucifixion of Christ, all the other disciples but John scattered. John, he came into the courtyard and he invited Peter in. Now, Peter did end up denying Jesus, but John was there, could have easily been arrested and killed too, but he decided he was going to stay close to Jesus throughout his trial. And even at the cross, the only one of the 12 disciples that was at the cross was John, the Apostle John. And here too, even when Jesus has his side conversation with Peter, John is close by. What's the point behind that? Well, John is an important role model for all of us. No matter what, stay close to Jesus. No matter what, stay close to Jesus. Now, how do you do that? Stay in the Word of God and be a person who lives a life full of prayer. That's how you stay close to Jesus. And when Jesus tells you to do something, do it. When he tells you to do something, do what he tells you to do. So John is a good role model in many ways because he teaches us how do you walk with Christ? You stay close no matter what. Again, the only disciple there at the cross. And note this too. At the cross, Jesus was able to entrust to John a task that none of the other disciples received. And of course, they weren't there to receive it anyway. Jesus entrusted his mother to John for him to take care of his mother, Mary. Now, why did Jesus give John that task? Well, keep in mind, John stayed close and he was available. You and I are wise to live available lives because God is always looking for available vessels. God wants to use every one of us as believers, but a key is we're to be available vessels. My encouragement to every listener is every day, pray the prayer of Jabez over your life. Every day, pray the prayer of Isaiah over your life as well. Both of them are great prayers to pray, and they're prayers that help you to become more available to be used by the Holy Spirit. John stayed close, and God was able to entrust him with the task of taking care of his mother. But even in the Gospel of John chapter 15, that's a great chapter to read and meditate on. It talks about abiding in Christ. In other words, staying close and close fellowship with him in the Word of God and in prayer. And as we abide in him, we will produce much fruit. John chapter 15 clearly draws that out. Keep in mind, John, towards the latter end of his life, ended up being arrested and exiled to the island of Patmos. And so I think one of the goals was they had attempted to kill him by boiling John in oil, and he didn't die. He wouldn't die. So they exiled him to Patmos and probably thought to themselves, well, we'll put him off on this deserted island, prison island, and then he won't be able to do anything in the way of preaching the gospel. But keep in mind, just as John draws out in John chapter 15, if you abide in Christ, you will produce fruit. If you stay in close fellowship with Christ, you will produce fruit no matter what's going on. Though they may have thought that, well, we'll stop John from preaching and serving Jesus, we'll keep him from doing anything for Christ. He gets to the island of Patmos, and what does he do? God gives him the book of Revelation on the island of Patmos. A key in John's life is he stayed close, and God uses believers that will stay close to him, and he uses them wonderfully. How important it is that all of us stay in close fellowship with the Lord, no matter what. Make much time in the Word of God every day. Make much time to pray, and make much time to obey and do what the Lord is calling you to do. We're all called to stay close no matter what. What an important lesson for us all to keep in mind. Again, the whole chapter of John chapter 21, you could say, is largely about following Christ. And John, the Apostle John, who wrote the book of the Gospel of John, is a good role model to teach us how to follow Christ. How do we follow him? We follow him closely, and we do what he says. Stay close, listen, and follow Christ every day. And, you know, Peter asks the Lord Jesus, what about him? And note how the Lord Jesus responds to him. He says to him basically, what is that to you? You follow me. In other words, don't be caught up in trying to follow other people and seeing how closely they follow Jesus. Yes, pray for other people. You make it your business to stay close and you follow him for yourself. You know, you can't live anyone else's life, but you can live your life to the fullest as you follow Christ. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us all to follow you. Thank you for the many powerful lessons of John chapter 21. Help us to be people that will stay close to you, follow you every day, and be available vessels. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a great day to be saved. Would you simply now from your heart pray this prayer to commit your life to the Lord Jesus and be saved? If you would you pray this prayer with us now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so, so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to stay close to you every day. And help me to follow you faithfully every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we're very much wanting to be in touch with you, to communicate with you. We'd like to share with you some literature and resources that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share that literature with you. And if you're a listener who you just want some of the literature to share with someone yourself or have yourself, again, you're welcome to email, same email, joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you if you committed your life to Christ. We hope to hear from you. Again, joseph@afr.net. Then finally, the article we shared earlier entitled Redeeming the Time with Our Children. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us, same email, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.